Podcast. Welcome to another edition of Mormonland. I'm managing editor Dave Noyce, and I oversee our faith coverage. I'm joined again by senior religion reporter Peggy Fletcher Stack. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Dave.
As it prepares to welcome a new president, the United States, a land of prophecy and promise to members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, stands at a momentous moment. A disgraced and divisive president has become the first commander-in-chief to be impeached twice. A violent mob has desecrated the people's house, eroding the very foundation of democracy. And amid threats of more unrest, a shaken nation tiptoes into the future with as much trepidation as hope. One Mormon who perhaps more than any other can bring insight to this turbulent time is former Nevada Senator Harry Reid. Reid served in Congress for 34 years, including 8 years as Senate Majority Leader, the highest federal office ever achieved by a Latter-day Saint, before retiring in 2017. He joins us today via Zoom from Henderson, Nevada. Mr. Senator, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
Great. Well, let's start with this, Senator Reid. First of all, we wonder how you're feeling. You know, you underwent surgery and treatment for pancreatic cancer more than 2 years ago, and the coronavirus is still with us. So how is your health physically?
Not bad. I'm still being treated for my initial cancer, but, you know, I'm doing okay.
Well, good. We'll turn now to maybe a more painful subject right now. What went through your mind when you saw the U.S. Capitol, where you worked for so many years, ransacked and trashed by an angry mob?
My first job in Washington was a policeman. I was a company policeman. I worked the 3 to 11 shift, 5 or 6 days a week. And went to law school during the daytime. So I knew by the time I came to Washington as a member of Congress, I knew physically the Capitol so well. I'd worked on the House side, the Senate side, and the Capitol. It's a huge, huge building with all these underground tunnels and stuff, but I knew them all. So when I came to the Senate, everyone knew I'd been a Capitol policeman, and so I was kind of the protector of the Capitol Police, made sure their budgets were appropriate and did a lot of things for the Capitol Police. But as time went on, I became much more familiar with the Capitol Police, because when I became leader, I'd been there a while, and I got numerous threats on my life. So for a number of years, the Capitol Police were with me 24 hours a day. So I was terribly troubled when I saw the rampage that took place in the Capitol. It was something that I never expected to happen, and it's something that didn't have to happen. But we have a lot of very unsettled people around the country, led by Donald Trump, that have humiliated many people holding public office, law enforcement, and given us a bad name around the world. So that's how I feel about that.
Did you hear from any of your former colleagues after this all happened? Did any of them phone you, text you, call you?
Yeah, I keep in touch with my friends I try not to think that I'm trying to lead from back here, but I keep in touch with Senator Durbin, number two senator, Senator Schumer. I keep in touch with him. He's a majority leader now. Patty Murray. So I keep in touch with some of my friends.
So on Wednesday, yesterday, the House voted to impeach President Trump. Though it appears unlikely he will be able to be removed before he leaves office. What do you think? What did you think about the impeachment effort?
Well, I think that Donald Trump will go down in history as the worst president in the history of the country. And that says a lot because we've had some pretty bad ones, but none of them compare to Donald J. Trump. Good riddance. Impeachment second time in 4 years. That's quite remarkable. and he will be impeached, and he will be convicted after Biden becomes president.
So as a practicing Latter-day Saint, how did you feel when you saw some of the insurgents using Captain Moroni flag and other Mormon heroes to justify their actions?
Well, I've always believed that religion is something that is very personal and you shouldn't wear it on your sleeve. And I think that all this stuff, Captain Moroni and all that, flag of freedom and all that, is just an absolute travesty to the members of the church and the church generally. Because the church is, you know, I've been a member of the church for a long time now. And I had a lot of dealings with the general authorities in the church when I was the leader of the Senate. But they were always very careful to never involve politics in what they were doing. And I think that these people who try to inject their religion into government, into politics, are absolutely detrimental to the safety and well-being of our country.
Senator Reid, do you think the church leaders should or could do anything to rein in members who are part of this insurgency?
I my thought would be that I think it would be probably a good idea for the general authorities, maybe the first president, to come out with a statement saying that members should be very careful to the organizations that they join, to make sure that they're all in keeping with the American Constitution, that they're all law-abiding organizations, and not become involved with fringe organizations that tend to be detrimental to this safety of our country.
You've already kind of answered this, but do you think that these visible members give the church a bad name?
Yes, I sure do.
It's a question about truth, Senator. So many of these rallies and movements are based on a lie that there was voter fraud, which has been rejected by 60 courts and election officials everywhere. Should the church be able to talk, should the church talk to members about the question of truth without being partisan? Could the church say something about truth?
I think I said what I believe that would be helpful to come from the general authorities, to say that members should be very careful the organization they join. They should not be involved in anything that is militaristic, unless it's the United States military itself. They should be very careful about these organizations that are to weaken government. They should be careful about joining organizations to overthrow valid elections in America.
In a recent church handbook, it talks about using reliable sources of information. Again, lots of these actions are based on faulty information, misinformation, lies. But it doesn't seem to have sunk down to the local level so much.
Well, you know, we have, I can speak from experience about members of the church and how negative they can be. During my time in the Senate, I had many letters written to my state president, to some of the general authorities, saying I should be excommunicated because of my progressive views about government. And they, members of the church, were very, very difficult in my political career. I can remember once we had on Halloween, they had, instead of trick or treat, they called it trunk or treat. And one of the cars in the parking lot at the church had a trunk up when it had me featured as the devil. I had a stake president, a wonderful man, just a great guy, did an event for me. I was running for re-election, and they had people, when we came to the event, they had signs up saying Reed's part of the Gaddy Anton robbers. So I've had my issues with members of the church who feel that they don't need to follow the admonition given every election by church leaders saying you shouldn't mix your politics with the church duties.
So you've served in the Senate when Mike Lee was there. You just missed Mitt Romney, of course, joining the Senate. What, there are two prominent Latter-day Saints in the Senate. What roles do you see? And Romney, of course, has been famously a frequent Trump critic, very outspoken, and cast
well,
a very
I know Mitt Romney very, very well.
I figured you did.
As you may remember, you may remember when he ran for president.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably the biggest foe he had because, as you remember, he was accused of not paying a fair amount of taxes, and I was the point of that. So I certainly was not helpful to Mitt getting – I was helpful in his being defeated. However, I asked my friend of many, many years Governor Leavitt of Utah, who had been head of Health and Human Services, to arrange a meeting with me and with Mitt Romney after the election. And we had a meeting at his home in Salt Lake where Mitt and I talked about probably how we had done things wrong about each other. And we had our wives were there, and we had a very nice meeting, kind of a makeup session. So I admire Mitt Romney. I think he's a very, very fine human being. He's had great service in the church. He's, I think, set a good example for how members of the church should live. But it's there's one another little a vignette here that may be interesting to you. Governor Leavitt was selected by Bush to one of the Bushes to be head of Health and Human Services, cabinet secretary. And we were waiting for him. He was called before the appropriate committee of jurisdiction, and we were going to raise hell with him. On the way to the Capitol that day, I thought to myself, I was in school. I finished 2 years at University of Southern Utah, and I was going up to Utah State, and I called Dixie Leavitt, and I said, "Mr. Leavitt, I'm going to get married this summer, and I want to get some insurance in case we have a baby. And I want to make sure we have some coverage for that." So he said, "Okay." So we got married, and sometime later, Lander became pregnant, and the hospital bill came, had no insurance to cover it. So I called Dixie Leavitt, and I said, "Mr. Leavitt, you may not remember me, but I asked for, told him what this conversation was, and there's no insurance." And he said, "Well, just send me the bill, then I'll pay it." So on the way to the Capitol, I thought, I hadn't thought of that, but that must be a pretty good man to do that. And so I came to the Capitol, and instead of going after Governor Leavitt, I told a story about his dad. And that's now become part of the legend within the Leavitt family of a good person Dixie Leavitt was. So I thought that story you might be interested in.
So do you see Romney playing a role as emerging as a force maybe from the Republican side as the Biden administration enters?
Sure hope so. Sadly, you know, he was attacked in the airport last weekend, week ago, by crazies who were upset at him because he wasn't nice enough for Trump to drop. I think that Mitt Romney has shown some real courage. And I think with his having been a nominee for president of the United States, with his background, his being very articulate, has such a good presence, I think should be a power in the Republican Party, because there's no question in my mind that, first of all, I believe in a two-party system. I believe that we need to have a strong Democratic Party, strong Republican Party. We're the envy of the rest of the world. But what has happened is the Republican brand has been so tarnished by Donald Trump that the Republican Party became the party of Trump, and the brand was ruined by Trump. And that's why you have the Lincoln Project and others who are trying to do all they can to rebrand the Republican Party, which they need to do. Because as I said before, I believe in a strong two-party system. So I think Mitt Romney's going to play a big role in the future of the Republican Party.
Senator, what about Mike Lee? Do you know him?
Sure. He was I was his family's home teacher in Washington. I went to his home. We home taught him. You know, his dad was Solicitor General of the United States, one of the most brilliant legal minds in the history of the country. So I knew Mike Lee as a little boy. He grew up with one of my son Josh, and they are still good friends. And so, of course, I know Mike Lee. He's a little too conservative for my taste, but I like him, and he's a good person.
So, Senator, do you think that President-elect Joe Biden will be able to do some healing as the country goes forward, or do you worry that it'll just be more partisan debates?
Joe Biden is a person understands the art of legislation as compromise. He served many years in the Senate, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Judiciary Committee, 8 years as Vice President of the United States. He's well equipped to be a salve to heal the wounds of our country, which have been so terribly exacerbated by Donald Trump. So Joe Biden is a good person. He is somebody who understands government. And I think he's going to be a good president of the United States. He's very fortunate in that he's coming in with a majority of the Senate is Democratic. I say that because it's tied 50-50. But because we have a vice president, we have all the committee chairs. So he's got that going for him. He's got a Democratic majority in the House. And I think that he's somebody that is capable of working with McConnell. If McConnell doesn't want to play ball with him, but McConnell's done about everything he can to ruin the Senate anyway. It's all turned into a manufacturing site for judges. That's all they've done. They don't do amendments. They don't do legislation. And as I've said before, I think that the time has come that Joe Biden's going to have to take a close look at getting rid of the filibuster. filibuster is a time that's, it's beyond time that's of any use anymore. You can't have a democracy where it takes 60% of the vote to get anything done. So it's not a question if the filibuster is going to go away. It's a question when it's going to go away.
So, Senator, when the LDS Church officially congratulated Joe Biden on his victory, and the release didn't come until after the Electoral College vote, which was much later than in the recent elections, it still received much criticism, a lot of criticism, from Trump-supporting Latter-day Saints. So there's obviously a bitter division, partisan division, at least within the faith itself. What can the church do to help heal those divisions?
Just go ahead and do their work. They've got a huge responsibility of 17 million members around the world, and they should just go ahead and do their ecclesiastical duties.
So in Congress right now, there are 9 Latter-day Saints, which is the lowest it's been in 32 years, at least 32 years. And they're all Republicans now. With the Democrats controlling, as you said, the House and the Senate and the White House, could this have any effect or hurt the church at all if it tries to advance certain issues legislatively? There are sometimes issues that come up that the church is interested in.
Well, when I was there, we had several Democrats. We had, I was a Democrat. We had Udall from Colorado, who was a Democrat. We had Udall from New Mexico, who his dad had been, member of the church, Democrat, as same as Udall from Colorado. So I think that it would be much better if there were members of the church who were Democrats. I think the Republicans better be very careful of trying to be too upfront on church issues, because it won't play well, I don't think.
You know that President-elect Biden is a person of faith. He's very involved Catholic. Do you think it would be hard to argue that he is anti-religious, although people have. Do you think his faith might help heal the country?
Joe Biden is a man I admire very much. He's been through the trials of life. He was a boy. He was a stutterer. He stuttered, could have trouble talking. He worked in front of a mirror for hours at a time, trying to overcome his stammer. He got, as a young man, got in lots of fights because people made fun of the way he talked. He was known as a young man, teenager, as he was known as Shoe Leather. Why did they call him Shoe Leather? Because he was as tough as Shoe Leather. So I admire him. He's a man who came to the Senate as a very young man. He was elected at age 29. You have to be 30 in the Senate, so he had to wait till after his birthday to become 30 years old. He has been in the Senate for matter of weeks, and his wife and daughter are both killed in a car accident going back to Delaware from Washington. His two boys are badly injured. So he spent his career taking the train back and forth to Wilmington, Delaware every day to help take care of the two boys who were badly injured. He and his sister Valerie took care of those boys. So Joe Biden is a superhuman being. He's just the nicest guy in the world. He's just really good.
So, Senator, I've been reading Barack Obama's biography, and he mentions, he basically credits you with as the one who prodded him to run in 2008. That he was thinking he should wait later, and you had a meeting with him. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I called him to my office and I said, just like the count in the book, he told us just the way it was. He came in, I said, I think that this is the time for you to run for president. waiting is not going to help you at all. Right now, you have tremendous impact with young people. And I think that this is your time. And as I said, just like in the book, he was stunned when I told him that. But I can remember the night of his reelection, I got a call from my staff got a call from his staff and said he's going to give his acceptance speech. And the first person he's going to talk to after that is you. And basically what he said is, I'm here because of you. So.
Well, that's great. Senator Harry Reid, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet.
And be well and stay safe, okay?
Call anytime. You bet. Bye.
And thanks to Peggy Fletcher Stack.
Always a pleasure.
And to our trusty producer, Chris Samuels. We remind our listeners that they can keep up on all the happenings in and about the church by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Just go to sltrib.com to sign up, and we'll talk again next time on Mormonland.